Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the last Sunday of the church year comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In the name of Jesus. The last Sunday of the church year gives us a vision of what will transpire on the last day in which the Son of Man, Jesus the Christ, comes again in his glory. Next week, assuming that the last day doesn't come between now and then, we will start it all over again. Into Advent, we will jump 4 quick weeks of preparation, making us ready to celebrate Christ incarnate coming in the flesh to be the Savior of the world that was foretold by all the prophets. But this week, instead of looking backwards, we look forward. We look to the future, to the day of culmination, to the day in which the shepherd's sheep will rejoice until eternity, living in everlasting blessedness in the kingdom prepared from the foundations of the world. But if you are anything like me, when you hear the account of the sheep and the goats, you can't help but have a little bit of trepidation bubble up in your bellies, wondering which side of the king you will be placed on. And the reason for that is because the sinner within us can't seem to listen to the gospel-y words that are coming out of the king's mouth in our text for today. All that we hear is law. We hear that all of this is works-based salvation, which merits eternal life through the things that we've done and the things that we left undone. And I don't know about you, but when I hear this account in this way, I find it pretty hard to be comforted. But comforted is exactly what you should be as you walk out of the doors this morning. The problem is, of course, is we hear all of this, "You fed me, and you welcomed me, and you clothed me, and you visited me" stuff, and we can't help but hear it in a transactional sort of way. We can't help but hear, "Because you did X, then you get Y." And because if we hear it like this, we have to pause just for a moment and wonder, when did we do such a thing? Well, Jesus, he clears that up pretty well, I guess, and he tells us that when we do any of these things to the least of these, when we serve the neighbor placed in front of us with the needs that he has, then we are, in fact, serving Christ. Jesus, he hides himself in our neighbors, and we serve him by serving them. And I suppose that makes sense. God isn't the one who needs our service. Instead, it's our neighbor who does. God, he doesn't ask us to spend our whole entire lives praying the Psalms or attending worship services so that we can rack up a boatload of good works that will be credited to us on the last day. Now, don't get me wrong, all of these things are good, but not because they tip the scales in our favor because of what we are doing. They tip the scales in our favor because of what God is doing. God is giving. God's the one granting the gifts through these things, through his word, the divine service, through his sacraments. God gives himself to us through them so that we might receive him and his blessings of forgiveness and eternal life. So fine, but it still sounds like we serve God by serving others, which is true. And just think about that for a second. It is quite amazing how our God makes sure that the only way in which we get to serve him is by serving our neighbors. It's almost as if he cares about people more than he does about himself. But the sinner in me is still more than a little bit afraid when I hear this sheepy, goaty sort of talk, because when I look at my life, I'm not all that sure that I've done all the things that I'm supposed to be have done. And who really am I kidding? I know that I haven't done it all. I know that I haven't fed everyone who's hungry, and I haven't clothed everyone who's in need of a coat. And I haven't sought out everyone who's sick and sat beside them in their hospital rooms, keeping them company and sharing their sufferings. And I can't even remember the last time that I actually found myself in a jail cell ministering to those behind bars. How am I to know that I've done enough to be made into one of those cute little fluffy sheep who stand at the right hand of the king? Maybe I haven't. Maybe I'm just a goat in sheep's clothing, convinced that I've done enough when in reality I haven't even come close. And the truth of the matter is, I haven't. I haven't done enough. I haven't fed and clothed and welcomed and visited like I should have. And more than that, I do know a lot of people who don't actually believe in God, who deny the fact that Jesus is who he says he is, who've done a lot better job at serving their neighbors than I have serving mine. So what do I say about them? In light of our gospel reading, how is it that I can justify thinking that I'm a sheep and they're a bunch of silly goats? Haven't their works proved otherwise? Haven't mine? Haven't they done enough to be considered a sheep? Viewing our salvation in the light of our works leaves us in that perilous position of never really knowing where that benchmark stands. Have I cleared it yet? Have you? How many more meals must I give out to safely stand on the other side? And once there, on that right side, how many more hospital visits must I make in order to maintain my sheepy status? Oh, goodness, I'm not too sure, as if we're making much headway here. And it sounds like I've got a long way to go for us to actually be comforted, like I said we were going to be at the beginning of this sermon. So I suppose I better get a move on. Let me unequivocally say that the most important thing that you need to know this morning is that it's not your works that make you sheep. Your works aren't causal. They don't turn you into anything. You are a sheep because God has made you a sheep in Christ. Remember the beginning of our text for this morning. The king separates the sheep from the goats before there was any mention of any works. And so that word in our text, that for I was hungry and you gave me food, shouldn't be heard as creative, but as descriptive. These good works describe what a sheep does. They do not create who a sheep is. But Pastor, you might be saying, that doesn't sound like what the text is saying. It still sounds like our works mean something. They do. And I promise you, they certainly do, but not the way in which the goaty sinner thinks that they do. But let's just hold on for just a moment. We'll get there. Maybe we should shift gears a little bit and listen to what it is that the sheep and the goats actually have to say to Christ after he rattles off those list of works. So let's start with the goats. After Jesus tells the goats that they didn't feed him or clothe him, welcome him or visit him, they respond with, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Did you catch it? It's in that word "not." When did we not do all of these things? If you ask your God for a list of your failures, you will be sorely disappointed when he produces a list too long for you to read. You'll be flabbergasted at all of the times and in all of the ways that you failed. You will be shown to be a failure at the things that you didn't even know. And you'll be shown to be a failure at the things that you were sure you succeeded in. If you demand a God of justice, a God of only the law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth sort of God who only judges you based upon the works of your own hands, you will get him. And I know that might sound a little bit funny to hear it said like this in church, but everyone gets the God that they want. If you want a God of pure law, if you want to lay your works of your hands up against the whole world, up against the perfection that the law requires, if you want to say to God, Prove to me when I didn't feed the hungry and clothe the naked and visit the sick. Prove to me when I wasn't good enough to be considered a sheep. He will do exactly what you ask of him. But then listen to the words coming out of the sheep's mouth. Notice the contrast. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? This is language that claims to have done nothing, that is sure that it hasn't actually done enough. This is language from someone who doesn't want his works to be brought before the king because they are sure that those works won't even get close to measuring up to what is expected. The sheep is a sheep who receives the blessings of Christ by faith, not based upon works, never based upon works. They have been named a sheep. They've been transformed to be a sheep by the grace of the king. And then it's in this way that we can clearly and actually truthfully say that no one starts out being a sheep. Everyone who has ever been conceived in sin has been brought out of the womb a goat. Pointy horns, already fully grown, shaggy beard all the way down to the floor already. It's only by grace that you have been made to be a sheep. Goat drowned in the waters of your baptism, where you were gifted that fluffy white wool of a sheep as you were dipped into the sacrificed blood of the lamb. So on a day like today, when our gospel reading might sound a little bit confusing and frightening, do not be afraid. Change the question of, have I done enough, to, did Christ do enough? The answer to that question will be a resounding yes, for it is Christ who fulfilled the impossible law that you goats made sheep never could. All of it done perfectly, every single last jot and tittle. And then ask, where did Christ pay for where I have failed? And then look to the cross. For even on that last day, you will see your king with crucified hands and feet, with a big old gaping hole in his side. Even on that last day, you will see your king still bearing the marks of the cross, where he paid the price for sins that he didn't commit, of which you are guilty of, but of which he has already forgiven and forgotten. And then finally ask, so when and where do I receive credit for all that he's done? Right there in that baptismal font, at the rail here too. Earlier this morning, as you heard the forgiving words of the cross spoken over you, don't worry your fluffy little heads about where you're going to be standing on that last day. You're not a goat. Christ has made you to be a sheep. So now we can actually get back to talking about those works. For when they are no longer understood to be things that make you what you are, you can stop worrying about whether or not you've done enough of them. Now they can be seen for what they truly are. Things to be done in service of your neighbor. And then you don't have to tally them up anymore, keeping an account to prove to the king that you're sheep-worthy. You've already been made to be sheep-worthy in Christ. So now you just get to serve your fellow sheep, and yes, even the goats, for their good, not for your own. Because Christ has already done everything unto salvation for your good. So now you serve your God by serving your neighbor, because that's what sheep do. That's who sheep are. Do not be afraid. Because of Christ, your King, on the last day, you will be given credit for works that you never even worked, meaning that you will be given credit for everything that Christ the King has done for you. In the name of Jesus.